Greetings, my fellow drunks and friends of drunks, family members of drunks. My name's Dave Sloan. It is one of the great privileges and joys of my life to be here with you today to celebrate the victory of Rusty Jones and Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we have a lot of suffering and a lot of loss and a lot of tragedy in our fellowship, so it's especially important for us to claim and proclaim and celebrate our victories. The victory of Rusty Jones is not that he died sober. The victory of Rusty is that Rusty lived sober. And he carried the message to so many people for so many years. I was one of those people. 40 years ago, I was a hopeless, homeless, psychotic, suicidal, alcoholic, drug addict, curled in a ball, shivering in the woods in the weeds off of Cheshire Bridge Road. And my last friend left in the world got sober and started taking me to the Biscayne Room. I liked it at the Biscayne Room. It was warm inside at the Biscayne Room. It was cold outside. The coffee was free. The people there at Biscayne, they weren't afraid of me. Anywhere else I went at that point in my life, they would call the police if they knew me. If they didn't know me, they would figure it out pretty quickly and then say, "You have to leave or we're calling the police." But they didn't say that at the Biscayne Room. They smiled at me. And sometimes they laughed. Rusty laughed. I went to meetings there for months and I couldn't get a day sober. I don't even know if it occurred to me to get a day sober. I was pretty psychotic at that point in my life. Rusty came up to me. I remember this. I don't remember a whole lot from that point in my life. I remember Rusty. He came up to me. I was standing after a meeting at Biscayne, a little after 9 o'clock at night. I was standing next to the signboard. They had one of those illuminated signboards like this one. And I was watching those steps kind of glow at me off the signboard. Rusty came up and laughed and said, "What you doing, boy?" I said, "I'm reading the 11th step. Why are you doing that, boy?" I said, "It's knowledge and power, and that's what I need." Rusty said, "You're out of your mind, boy. You can't do the 11th step." He said, "I have a different idea for you. How about if you try coming back here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with one day sober? What do you think about that?" I said, "Well, I don't know if I can do that." He said, "Will you try?" I said, "Okay, I'll try." He said, "Well, I want you to try. I want you to try to be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I'm going to be standing right here and I'm going to be looking for you. I want you to try to be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with one day sober. And I have not had another drink since that moment." Rusty said, "I got one more thing you can try to do. Now, you can't do it, but it won't hurt you to try. You can't do the 11th step. Don't even try that. Try the first half of the first step. Why don't you just try the first half of the first step?" Now, he was right. I was psychotic, so I couldn't do the first half of the first step. But I did show up there the next night with one day sober. And Rusty was excited to see me, and he was encouraging. And you know what he suggested that I do? Try it one more time. Try it for another day. I started showing up every night at the Biscayne Room at 8 o'clock with one more day sober. And Rusty would say, "Now, are you ready to start trying the first half of that first step?" But I was psychotic. I was thinking, we admitted we were powerless over. I admitted I am powerless. We admitted I were. We admit I admit we were. We're powerless over. Admit. I didn't know what was going on. But I kept getting another day sober, and I kept getting those smiles from Rusty. And I kept getting that joy and that encouragement to do it for another day. And finally, I came up with three words. And I said, "Rusty, I have an idea about the third step. I might try it in three words." And I told him, and he said, "That sounds good. I like that. Do that." Keep doing that. My three words were, I am powerless. I am powerless. I am powerless. And I repeated those like a mantra over and over and over again, thousands of times, tens of thousands of times. I was coming back to the Biscayne Room with one more day sober, and I became less psychotic. And at about 28 days, the light went off, and I realized, I have friends. I have friends like Rusty. I'm sober. I have a place to go sleep indoors now that's safe and warm. Somebody gave me a bicycle to get to meetings on. I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling strong, and I'm powerless. So maybe there's a power in this world that's helping me stay sober. Maybe there's a power that's on my side. Maybe there's a power that cares about me. And I figured out that it's in that second tradition. God hid it in the place where He knew we'd be least likely to find it, right in the traditions. There's a loving God expressed in our group, the most important words in Alcoholics Anonymous, hidden right there in the traditions. There's a loving God expressed in our group. My friend Maximilian Kolbe said, love conquers all and will endure for all eternity. And happy are those who live and die in God's love. God, thank you for the gift and the life and the victory of Rusty Jones. God bless you all.
Wow, that's going to be a hard act to follow. I'm Mark. Glad to be here. I have to say, before I read the St. Francis prayer, I just want to mention that Rusty was a very dear friend for many years. He also was my sponsor. I'm sure if I asked how many people in this room were sponsored by Rusty, it would be overwhelming, so don't do it. I will tell you this, that in times of my chaotic life and when I turned to Rusty, one time when I was not well, I was sober, but not well. And he said, Mark, what goes on between your ears is for entertainment purposes only. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, and where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, and where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek to comfort rather than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved, for it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven, and it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. I will say, Rusty, I know you can hear what I'm saying. I can feel it in my heart. I'm holding your memory always. And thank you for saving my life.
Max, alcoholic. I've never prepared a speech in my life, but I tend to go a little long. I wrote a few words. I met Rusty the same way as I'm sure many people here today. I came to Atlanta, a young alcoholic with no hope that my situation was going to improve. Thank God I lived on the number 8 bus route because that put NAB on my path to work. Rusty was one of the first people I met when I started attending the 1:30 meeting here. He was prophetic and concise. His eyes had like flames in them that would twinkle when he shared on subjects far beyond the daily AA basics. I could tell immediately he had an independent mind and a real bright spirit, and that he was not peddling run-of-the-mill sobriety. Rusty became my sponsor. Sponsorship with Rusty was often I was captive while he explained, like, the higher orders of, you know, higher order thinking and Jungian stuff and the fourth dimension and metaphysics. I told him about this really crazy experience I'd had in the spirit realm that became my white light experience. He was more interested in that than my day-to-day problems and how he might be an effective sponsor. He wanted to talk about so immersed in the spirit realm. And somehow, throughout all these conversations, he completely changed my life, the lives of so many people in this room. I think he would definitely gripe at me if I gave him all the credit and would remind me that he was just a messenger who had good teachers. And that's what Rusty was to me. He was a very, very good teacher. He never, ever once told me what to do. He refused to give me any kind of direct instruction. That's not the kind of sponsor he was. That's not just the kind of person he was. He allowed the process to unfold as it had for him. And his magic, I would say, was that he could guide people without having to lead them. He developed in his long, slow sobriety the capacity to love and nurture the spirits of people who were very, very hard to reach. He never, ever looked down. He only looked across so he could get eye level with anybody he reached out to. And I know that I speak for a lot of people when I say that I'm profoundly grateful that I took his hand. And now, his favorite poem, If, by Rupert Kipling. I'm told it was his favorite poem. I don't know. We didn't discuss poetry much. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting. Or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master. If you can think and not make thoughts your aim. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools. Or watch the things you give your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you. Except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you. If all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. Yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's Sarah. I am tremendously honored to be here with you guys. I just feel really honored to stand in front of the people that Rusty loves, and he loved so well. I feel tremendously grateful to get to be part of this. So many of the people in this room I know and cherish because of the relationship that I had with him, and for that I'll be forever grateful because he changed my life. My hope, you know, for all of us is that we just continue to lift each other up and carry his legacy by just celebrating each other and treating each other with all of the kindness and love and compassion and generosity of spirit that he always did. When I was getting sober, I couldn't find a sponsor to save my life, and Rusty dedicated a lot of time to me. He ended up saving my life. One of the things we did is we went through the 12 and 12 here. And I loved it because one of the things that he always told me is just trust the process and stay out of the results business, which I still have not gotten the knack of. I'm terrible about it. I like results. I want to know what's going to happen, right? So I was really grateful when we got to this part of the 12 and 12, and I kind of got a peek into some of the yield that comes from living this way of life, the way, you know, the way that he did, the way that I will always aim to. And he never got through it without being tearful, but I'm going to give it my very best shot, and then I'll get out of here. So it says, in well-matured AAs, these distorted drives have been restored to something like their true purpose and direction. We need no longer to strive or dominate or rule those about us in order to gain self-importance. We no longer seek fame and honor in order to be praised. When, by devoted service to family, friends, business, or community, we attract widespread affection and are sometimes singled out for posts of greater responsibility and trust, we try to be humbly grateful and exert ourselves all the more in a spirit of love and service. True leadership, we find, depends on able example and not upon vain displays of power or glory. Still more wonderful is the feeling that we do not have to be specially distinguished among our fellows in order to be useful and profoundly happy. Not many of us can be leaders of prominence, nor do we wish to be. Service gladly rendered, obligations squarely met, troubles well accepted or solved with God's help, the knowledge that at home or in the world outside we are partners in a common effort, the well-understood fact that in God's sight all human beings are important, the proof that love freely given surely brings a full return, the certainty that we are no longer isolated and alone in self-constructed prisons, the surety that we need no longer be square pegs in round holes but can fit and belong in God's scheme of things. These are the permanent and legitimate satisfactions of right living for which no amount of pomp and circumstance, no heap of material possessions could possibly be substitutes. True ambition is not what we thought it was. True ambition is the deep desire to live usefully and walk humbly under the grace of God. Words that Rusty just walked out so well, and words that will forever make me think of him as I try to just do my best and honor my friend all the rest of my days. Thanks for letting me stand up here. Thank you guys so much. My name's Stephanie. I'm an addict and alcoholic. And I wrote some things down so I could keep my thoughts steady. Rusty used to say that God gave me sons and AA gave me daughters. I am grateful and honored to be one of his daughters. He was the father I never had. I first want to thank Matt and Chris for sharing your father with us. Like all others in here that were close to him, Rusty met me when I was going through a tragedy. There was a moment at Triangle when I had a couple years sober where he reached out to me. I was not doing well, and I was definitely on the way to self-destruction. And he knew it, and he stopped me and asked me to stay and talk for a while. That conversation single-handedly changed my life. Rusty was also my teacher. He taught me how to stay clean and sober. He gave me my first 12 and 12. He taught me how to treat others and how to be treated. Besides the 12 and 12, Carl Jung, Cahil Gibran, all the poetry we read, he expressed mostly the importance of a man's integrity and a woman's dignity. He taught me that. He taught me about faith. His final message to me on a text was all about faith. He believed that hope leads to faith and faith leads to trust. Rusty trusted the process. Faith, he believed, is the objective, which is why we focus on the method. The method is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. He would say that he was at peace with his priorities. I think I speak for everyone when I say, thank you, Rusty. It is our job now to pass on the hope that you gave to all of us.
I'm Matt. This is my first day in a bolo tie. Honestly, I was not prepared for the overwhelming feeling today of seeing my brother in a fedora. he really wears it with. You'd have to know, Chris, to know what a big thing it is, that the amount of dignity that fedora imposes upon you. It's truly truly amazing things. So I've seen fedoras and I've seen bolos, but I've never seen the combination that my dad put with that. So just really, really greatly honored. Just grateful for what my dad taught me about just living, and especially as a reflection of the people around him. And especially when I got here 8 years ago, and I was so grateful for the opportunity to really get a lot of the stories and conversations that you usually only get on this day. And I got them 8 years ago, and then got 8 more years, and that just taught us so much. But 8 years ago, I wrote this after that first visit 8 years ago. It's based on the longer version of Reinhold Niebuhr's Serenity Prayer. The words have always been really meaningful, but what really inspired this song was watching my dad live them out with humility, courage, and grace.
God grant me the serenity to accept things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, and taking as Jesus in this sinful world as it is, and not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right by surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Amen. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying each moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, and not as I would have it, trusting that you'll make all things right by surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, or supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Amen. Forever in the next. Amen. Amen.
Isn't grace printed on the back of your programs? Sing this with us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Services are celebrations of life. I don't think I ever said this. This has been a lot of fun. This has been great. Dave, I know that NBC or ABC is looking for somebody to fill 11:30 slot if you're interested. Yeah. You're a great comedian wherever you're at. You're fun. Wave at me. Where are you? Did he walk out? Oh, my goodness. My name is Paul. I want to fit in. Yeah. But I have been sober since Thanksgiving Day, 1979. Short story, then I'm going to talk about Rusty. My brother spent Thanksgiving, and he got out of a rehab program. He had spent a year in prison for drunk driving and killing his best friend. I'm having a glass of wine outside smoking a cigarette, not a joint anymore, smoking a cigarette. And he said, Paul, it really bothers me, you being a Christian, drinking. I just gotten saved. And I said, really, Randy? He goes, yeah. I said, I'll never drink again. I threw out that wine. That was Thanksgiving Day. I want to say something about Rusty. I met him one time. 2 years ago at Sarah and Alex's wedding. Sat on the porch, talked to him, maybe 15 minutes. But in that 15 minutes, I felt like I had a friend. Not because he was interested, but because he was interested in me. He gave me his undivided attention. He was not a man that I would say that I would have ran into on the streets or in my life. Maybe 43 years ago I would, because I'm on the streets every week dealing with those that are homeless, addicted, and mentally ill. Maybe some of you I would have saw on the street. It's a crisis in what our communities are going through. But guys like Rusty and like you are making a difference. I want to thank Matt and Chris and the children, grandchildren, for letting me come and speak. Stephanie was telling me that he was very proud of you and your children. And she said it twice, in fact. I said I didn't know his life, but I see the results of it in this room. People go write their own memoirs, but when other people tell it, it becomes factual. Seeing your presence here, your joy, your celebration, makes him not just Rusty Jones, but he makes him a legend. He makes him what we would call, in my faith, a giant of the faith. He's accomplished things that most would only dream of accomplishing. And it wasn't for self-exhortation, but it was yet for you and others that may not be in the room today. That is a real hero. One that lays down his own life to take up a life of somebody else. One who says, I'm ready to sacrifice that you could have a life that is sober, a life of joy, a life where your dreams come true once again. Those dreams that you once threw away, those dreams that might have been stolen from you, you're able to live again. That's a real hero. That's a real giant. I got to wait for my notes. Is that okay? I'm a Pentecostal preacher, so we don't really read notes, all right? Okay. By the time we just make up stuff, you know? I put my glasses on so I can pretend I'm reading anyway. Is that all right? Knowing someone makes only a story, but the personal experiences, which is rich, and seeing you here, really tells his story. I kind of stayed online, didn't I, huh? So when I speak about Rusty and a little bit of knowledge that I have of him, other than the stories that I heard, Stephanie gave me a novel when she called me. Yeah, a novel. And she was rolling. I mean, she wasn't slowing down. My phone was dying. I had to plug it in twice. But you know what that says? It says that he had an impact on her life, and she loved him and is grateful. When I talked to Matt, he told me his view as a son. He said, even though there was tragedy in his life, a season of sickness, he said, my in-laws, his in-laws, maybe your grandparents, said he was a favorite. Do you have any other son-in-laws? Any other son-in-laws in here? He told me that he was their favorite son-in-law. I want to allude, since I know some things about him, I was reflecting the last couple of days, who can I line him up with? And being a pastor, I always look at biblical characters, right? Solomon. So actually three people. One of them was Solomon. The reason I picked Solomon, because Solomon was known to be the wisest man ever to live. And I hear all these things about Rusty and his wisdom and his quirky things that he could say that brought out truth. He was a reader, I understand. He was well-read. He wanted to learn about so much. Solomon was known for seeking out all the wisdom of the earth. He reminds me of this man, Solomon. Solomon was also the richest man on the earth. I don't know if he accomplished that, but nevertheless, he was one of the wisest. He also reminds me of St. Peter, the apostle. Peter had some demons in his past. He had some failures in his past. Listen, you guys are, hey, you admit your failures, right? Yeah, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, am I? Okay, good. He admitted his past. But you're like St. Peter, he didn't live in his past. He left his past behind him and he lived in the present, in the hopes of tomorrow's. That's how I viewed him in the stories that I heard. Compassionate. Matt told me he lived the ways of Christ. Not being Christ, but lived the way of Christ. And this is what I picked up. He was compassionate. And you guys have all been there. I believe all of you have been there where you needed somebody just to hold you or hug you or shake your hand or call you by your name. Hearing your name sometimes for the first time, especially if you lived under a bridge or on a corner, you haven't heard your name in months. To remember your name, it's transformable. When I went to church, the guy at the door my second time remembered my name. It transformed who I was. Just remembered my name. He says, Paul, it's good to see you again. He rejoiced in the success of others. You. Remember, I'm talking about him living out Christ's teaching. He was a life changer. He knew how to diffuse situations. Able to reach the unreachable. I like to say the unlovely. Didn't discriminate. I pastored some big churches in California before I came to Atlanta. I wish I could say this about the majority of my congregation. To be honest with you, I probably couldn't say that. Some. And I'm not crediting a church or discrediting a church or crediting AA or not crediting AA. I'm speaking about a man that took a challenge, faced it head on, and accomplished. There's some words that every believer wants to hear, and the time comes when we come into Rusty's situation is well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words I want to hear. When I pull up my feet and fall asleep and I open my eyes and I see the Lord standing before me, the words I want to hear, I dread not hearing these words, well done, good and faithful servant. I can't help but think. Those are the first sentences Rusty might have heard. I'm not here to preach at you. I have no desire to preach it at you. But I got to let you know, and you know it deep in your heart already, you know it's in the face of you, we're all going to face this day one day. We're going to face it. It's a point that all men, women too, you don't have any privileges here, all men are going to face the first death. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself today for your tomorrows. I want to hit a couple highlights. I'm old enough to remember the draft because I got drafted. So I honor my comrade in uniform, Rusty, captain in the Marines. Sober 43 years. Sponsored up to or maybe more than 100 people. Reminded us to live in this moment. Profound humanitarian. I've got a couple of things I heard he said. I got to read them. I got to go, oh, yeah, this one. I love this one. I wish I'd said this. I wish I could steal it. If I never see you again, I think I'm going to use it. Lie to another person, it's a misdemeanor. Lie to yourself, it's a felony. Gosh, I love that. Rusty, I think you're a jerk stealing that from me. That was mine. I like this one because it's kind of biblical. It says, the truth will set you free. But at first, it will tick you off. I like those. I'm going to close. And Dave opened with something. He kind of stole my thunder. I do this at every service. It's that a life well lived deserves to be recognized for that. You guys celebrated with an applaud. I'm going to outdo Dave. I'm going to have to give him a standing ovation. Can we stand right now and give a standing ovation? Give Rusty a standing ovation. A life well lived. We salute you, Rusty. Well done. Well done. Okay, go ahead. And doing that, and I'll give you my closing statement in just one moment, and then we'll have Dr. Jim come up and do the Lord's Prayer and closing remarks. Every Sunday we give an altar call for salvation. I'm not doing that here. Some of you guys are. I saw you shaking in your chair. But. And every Sunday people respond. And there's a scripture that says, when one comes to the Lord, all heaven stops and angels look with awe. And there's a celebration. And every Sunday, my son took over my pulpit. He says, can we give them a little example of what that sounds like? And we do what you just did for Rusty. Let me read my closing remark. He said this to Stephanie quite often when he'd get out of her car. Remember, I am at peace. I want you to know that I'm at peace in case something happens to me. Rest in peace. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Jim, alcoholic addict. Condolences to you, Matt, Chris, and to all of Rusty's friends here, our friends. Before I start, I wanted to read, but I got a few things I just want to say. First is a quote from Ecclesiastes 3:4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Rusty's dancing with us right now. He's dancing with us. I'd also like to say with honor, respect, and gratitude for the life of Rusty Jones that I humbly come to you this afternoon. And what I want to acknowledge is this crowd. What was so impressive to me was the way he could connect to anyone at any level. Black, white, woman, man, rich, poor, simple, esoteric, degreed. And he had this innate ability to get to whatever level they were at and then go from there. That's just amazing for me to see that. And I saw that with him and somebody who was under a bridge, a friend he had from Georgia Tech. He could get to that level and all of a sudden then work with them at that level. I wanted to read a couple of Rusty's quotes. I know y'all probably have heard some of these. The first is the illusion of when. I'll be happy when is always an illusion. It never comes to fruition. I'll be okay or happy as I learn to trust myself, God, you people, as you earn my trust. This process is the path to happiness. When is an illusion of the mind? In reality, there is only the now. As I learn to live in the eternal now, the illusion of the when fades. This is a path to happiness. As I learn to live in the eternal now, there is no when. He's here. He's here with us. And he's smiling right now because of all of y'all being here and the love that he showed to all of us. And this one I know has already been alluded to, the process. The alcoholic and the addict are not looking for a process to trust. They're mostly looking for a quick fix. I did for years. However, the 12 steps' only real solution is to experience the process of all 12 steps. This process starts with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Practiced together, these inseparable concepts produce hope. Hope practiced long-term produces faith. Faith practiced long-term produces trust. Trust practiced long-term gives us a working game plan to manage life. Amazing. And I used to hear him say that so many times. What did Rusty teach me? He taught me so much. He picked me up as my first sponsor, Terry P., kind of said, you know, I don't think I can do anything more with you. So I met him at a meeting, and I said, yeah, this guy's kind of out there. This guy's probably for me. So he taught me a lot. And again, it's been mentioned, taught me how to be at peace with my priorities. And he would say that so many times. And I think, shit, man, I'm sure not at peace with my priorities. I don't even know what my priorities are. He would say that over and over again. And then the other thing that used to really tick me off, stuff's going on. Stay in the day. Get out of the results business. Jesus, you've been saying that all along. I want to hear something new. He'd just smile and say it again. One of the other things he really taught me how to be was a friend. I mean, when I came in here, I would only be a friend if it was a conditional friend. Is there something in this for me? He taught me how to be a friend, and through his teaching of being a friend, I became a friend. I was friendable, and before I really wasn't. He also taught me about metaphysics. Rusty was a true mystic, and I don't know if I've ever met a true mystic before, but the whole concept of metaphysics is really translates as a study of that which is beyond the physical. It's a study of the true nature of the universe, and more specifically, the purpose of life on Earth. That was Rusty. He was it. Sometimes, I think I mentioned earlier, he started going on. I'm just listening and going, whoa, where are we going now? But I mean, he'd go as deep as you wanted to go, and then even a little more. I had a couple quotes I wanted to read from the Buddha. And these really made me think of Rusty. Teach this triple truth to all. A generous heart, kind speech, and a life of service and compassion are the things which renew humanity. This man did that. He gave me hope. He gave a lot of us hope when we didn't have any. The other reading that really stuck with me was this one. Again, quote from Buddha, thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreased by being shared. Again, this man shared his happiness. He shared whatever he could, whatever he had. And just recently, there was a newcomer that was living under, well, I think it was homeless, but anyway, Rusty went out of the way to get this man a phone. He couldn't really communicate with anybody because he didn't have a phone. He was living in a shelter. He reached out to this man. I was just so amazed at the way he touched him. And we all got our certain stories about Rusty, and I think the common denominator of all these stories is love. I mean, all human emotion is based on fear and love. This man lived in love. He didn't live in fear. I went through him in three strokes. This man never gave up. Resilience. This man would, no matter what it took, I took him to our physical therapy program. He'd work out. He just wanted to live his best life. And he did. He lived his best life. And he never gave up. And that's something I look at, and it's called resolve. Rusty had resolve. He had resilience. He taught me that. Yeah, I have here courage, resilience, or resolve. But most importantly, what he taught me was unconditional love. And I wanted to share, it's probably one of the best Christmas presents I've ever had. Rusty sent me this by email on December 25th, 2019. And he said, "Jim, I love you is just words. What matters is the way you love me and the rest of the year. I know that you will, because you have the track record in my life. Yes, I'm a scorekeeper." I heard a song many years ago that simply said, "The real meaning of Christmas is the giving of love every day." I was somehow touched by the song, and being touched, I knew that it was more than just words. Thank you for being who you are. You turned "I love you" into more than just words. That healing touch makes you a very special person. Many of us have been touched by you. I'm honored to be one of them. To step beyond the norm is to be greatly misunderstood. The power to do just that takes courage. Thank you for your courage. Keep up the good work. "I love you" is what many of us need to hear, but only from the courageous, from the norm, is it just words. Please know I love you. And, yeah, amazing. So in closing, I'd just like to share something else Rusty used to always tell me so many times. I'd pick him up, and I'm getting ready to take him home, and he'd look at me with a beautiful young lady to the right, and he'd say, "You know, Doc, I got a better offer." And I can tell you today, Rusty's got a better offer. Thank you. I'd like everybody to stand, and we're going to share the Lord's Prayer. Matt, would you start us off, please?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Rusty.
First I slip, and then I trip to a hope-filled dream. You rescue me, and finally, waking there I see. I look into love's window for a soul. Looking through love's window. Thank you.